Amen. Let's stand together if you would. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so appreciative for every opportunity that you give us. Oh, Lord, may I never fail to take advantage of it, Lord. Father, you promise you'd be here to meet us. And Lord, your word as it comes forth, you reveal it to us. And Lord, that we may grow closer to you. We love you so much. Pray that you would just bless us now, each and every one, Lord. Look on their hearts, Father. May they receive of a portion from you tonight. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. You glad to be out tonight?
Yes.
Amen. So good to us. Turn with me, if you would. I'd like to start on the Capstone Books, page 5. I am determined to hold out to the end. Amen. You have that determination? You feel it burning in your heart? Amen. Amen. When I first found Jesus, something o'er me rolled, like lightning it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy, and took my fears away. And when I meet old Satan, to him I always say, oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. For Jesus is with me, on him I can depend, and I know I have. But let the path get narrow, and he will lose the track. Yes, I'm so full of glory, my Lord, I always find. And I just say to Satan, amen, crazy. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend, amen. Though I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. This old-time religion, it makes me sometimes shout. I don't have time to gossip, nor any time to pout. They say that I'm too noisy, but when these blessings flow, I shout, oh, hallelujah, I want the world to know. I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend, and I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Oh, when I hear the trumpet sounding in the sky, and see the mountains trembling, to heaven I will fly. For Jesus will be calling, there'll be no time to mend. With joy I'll go up singing, I've held out to the end. Oh, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend, and I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. Amen. Oh, if you feel that determination, saints. Amen. That little gene of God bubbling inside. Praise his name. Page 107 in our Only Believe books. The city where the Lamb is the light. We're going to be going to that city soon, saints. Keep your eye on the goal. Amen.
There's a country far beyond the starry sky. Oh, there's a city where there never comes a night. Oh, if we're faithful, we shall
city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. Oh, here we have our days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright, oh, will be changed to clouds and rain until we go. Oh, to the city where the Lamb is the light. Amen. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. There the flowers bloom forever and the day. Oh, shall be one eternal day without a night, and our tears shall be forever wiped away. Oh, in that city where the Lamb, oh glory, hallelujah. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. Here we have our disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. Amen. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is alive. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is the light. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the light. Oh, then let sunlight fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright. Oh, for I know that up in heaven there is room. Oh, in that city where the Lamb, oh, what we got to look forward to. Oh, in that city where the Lamb is alive. Oh, in that city where there cometh no night. Oh, I've a mansion over there, and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is alive.
Amen. Yes, all saints. Going to be a wonderful day.
Yes, amen.
Wonderful day. Page 23. I think that's in our capstone books. Back over there. Everybody will be happy. All saints. Amen. Whatever song that is, there'll be no mourner's bench. Have no place at all. Amen. Amen. Everybody's going to be happy.
Yes.
Amen. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon his glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. Oh, everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy. Amen. Oh, there will be such joy and happiness and singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy. Oh, glory. Oh, everybody.
mourning in that land, for the burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy. Oh, oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy. Amen. Oh, they'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. Saints, it's going to be a wonderful day. Amen. Keep your eye on the goal. Run like we've never run before. So close. Amen. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? Precious Jesus. Amen. That's the offering.
Lord, we're so thankful for what you've done for us.
Yes.
We pray that we accept this thing and give it hand back in our life. Bless this service. Bless this offering for that we approve. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. The one that's prepared all of it for us, saints.
Yes.
Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the brother-in-law. All right, yes, we'll keep it in our mind. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request?
Gracious Lord, we just make you thankful for another opportunity to gather here tonight, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
We went lucky our last time we gathered together, Lord. May we count each time, precious Lord. Pray, Father, to help us each and every one in this present time that we're living in, dear God. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord, and make sure we see where we're standing at your sight, Lord.
You may be seated. Wonderful little saints to know we can go to him in time of trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone have a song on your heart or quest? Amen. You have anything tonight, Karen? I ask if you come.
There's nothing to me. let's all stand, if you will. Ask our brother to come. Single chorus, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Precious Lord, we are so thankful to be here this evening, and Lord, to feel your presence and to know you're here with us. Lord, just to be able to gather with saints of like precious faith around your precious word, and Lord, asking you to open up your word to us, Lord, and though we've heard things before, and maybe I'll read a scripture that's been read many times or bring a quote that's been heard many times, Lord, your word is spirit and it is life. And Lord, if we will but just open up our hearts and say, Lord, magnify it to me greater. And Lord, let it just build up in our hearts as a stepping stone. And Lord, we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. And we just ask the blessings upon your word and upon our hearts to receive this evening. And we ask it all in your most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful?
Yes.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles to Luke, the 5th chapter. Brother Kevin, I don't know if it feels too cold out there. You may have to turn that air conditioner up a little bit. Amen. Luke, the 5th chapter. Let's just start here at the first verse. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him he would thrust out a little from land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And now when he had left off speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. May the Lord add the blessings to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Amen. And just to kind of along those lines, I'm going to read some things tonight concerning, just to kind of go along, maybe it'll sound like with what our pastor's been bringing on faith. That's not my message, and not to try to get into his message, but just couldn't seem to, I was going to go a different direction, just thought we'd read these things and place them in our hearts a little greater. It may be a little special way for someone this evening as our sisters sang the song, Reach Out and Touch Him. Yes. You know, we are living in a time God called a people to be a people in this day. Yes. Not a day of yesterday, not a day of tomorrow, but of today. Yes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are the people that by God's grace are a recipient of that. And this is the time God's going to be glorified. And that's why we're here, to be a vessel that he could use however he sees fit. Amen. That whatever happens through our bodies would bring glory and honor back to him. And as we read this scripture, I just want you to think about Peter as just a common man. He worked all night. He was tired. Not only that, Jesus come, got in his boat, and had him cast off from shore so he could preach to the people. Probably wasn't a 30-minute sermon, I don't imagine. And then Jesus tells him, go ahead now, let's go cast out those nets. And probably in the middle of the day now. Most people that fish don't like to fish in the middle of the day. So Peter sitting here, he said, Lord, we fished all night and we caught nothing. But oh, yet there was something in him. At thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down this net. And how important it truly is for us to realize, and all of these things that's been placed into these scriptures, as we spoke a little bit about Abraham last Thursday evening, the things our pastor's been bringing, these things were written for our admonition. They were placed here that we could look back and see what God has done through all of these scriptures and for all of these things that have taken place. But God didn't die. He's the same today. And he's still here and active in your life and in my life. And he still works the impossible at the most impossible times to prove that he is God. And he does that to why? To prove you and show that you're something? No. To prove that he truly is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he is here to back up every word that he has spoken. And there's many, many scriptures in there, but even as Peter, at thy word, Lord, I'll let down the net, he knew to the obedience in him to obey. But then there was still such an astonishment at the fishes that they caught. Then, oh, how sometimes I feel like after all we've seen God do, sometimes we still get a little astonished that God can do things. Yes. And how it should not astonish us of what God can do. He's capable. But sometimes we are afraid that he won't do what he said he would do. And then we hinder our own self. We let Satan talk us out of maybe what is happening. Maybe a situation is moving in our heart to do a certain thing. But all because we get a little fearful that, oh, what if? But oh, at thy word, Lord, you've laid this on my heart to do this. Lord, I'm going to follow what you've given me to do and watch God work the miracle or whatever needs to take place at that time to bring glory to his name. And Brother Branham, and God hiding himself in simplicity, and I didn't write down the year this was preached, but I know it was in 63. But he says, paragraph 96, he said, we must believe God and we must take him at his word. Yes. And just is in the being that this was in the message, God hiding himself in simplicity and knowing all that he had to say in there, we must not try to figure things out, but whatever God says, the real true Spirit of God will just punctuate every word of God with an amen. The Holy Spirit wrote the word, and if the Holy Spirit wrote the word and the Holy Spirit is in you, how can it say, well, that was for another age? How can it say when it said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you try to place it in some other age back there or some age to come? Man is still the same. He's always thanking God for what he's done and always looking forward to what he will do, but ignoring what he's doing right now. And we're truly setting in a time, whether you see it or not, God is building the assurance into your heart and building up the blocks in our lives that we need to be ready to be standing where he wants us to stand when the time is right and whatever he wants to do. Everything is happening. The clock never stops. God's timing is perfect. And if we could, oh, but just put our full trust and full obedience into his precious word, that we would take him exactly. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to make it complicated. Don't try to compound it because somebody else said, God is a God of simplicity. And he laid it out so simple. He didn't tell Peter all the at this certain time. He just said, let down your net. And Peter said, at thy word, I'll just let it down. Just look at the simplicity of everything God's ever done. It's just so simple. There's not a big mathematical equations to it. Or I got to do this so that'll happen. I got to go. No, just follow him step by step in his precious word. And it'll work out every time exactly the way he said it would. He said that ignoring what he's doing, that's exactly man always. And he does the same thing today. He always is that. He's that man. And you've got to get out of that. You got to let the mind that was in Christ be in you. God dealing with man has always been in humility, and he never does deal with men in great big theological terms. Tell me one time he ever did. He never does. He makes himself simple, and man wants to make it complicated. He makes himself great by making himself humble. Yes. And oh, what an example we've seen. Even our pastor, I believe last Thursday evening when he was speaking, how the humility, you can see it. That same humility transferring into our lives. That no matter what God uses us for, God gets the glory and the honor for it when we stay down here where we belong. And as we were thinking about Abraham, this is in proving his word, and Brother Branham speaking here, he says, Abraham didn't stagger anywhere at all of unbelief. He believed that God was able to perform that which he had promised. And I want you to think of all these promises that are laying here for you and me. Ask whatsoever you will, and doubt it not in your heart, and you can have it. Forgive when you stand praying. Forgive that your Heavenly Father will forgive you. Think of all of the promises that are laying here and all of the direction we have. And Abraham, as we get into it here, he says, but as he believed that God was able to perform that which he had promised and that God would prove his word no matter how long it took. But instead of getting weaker each time, like we're prone to do, he got stronger all the time. If it didn't happen today, tomorrow it'll be a greater miracle because it's one day older. That was God in Abraham, for he knew that God proved all of his words to be so. Yes. And if his children will only take his word so he can prove it by you, he done proved it through Abraham, what he could do. It's our turn that God can prove that he will have the preeminence of a body of believers in this last age. He will have prisoners that surrendered to him, that their every action, their every move would be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Somebody's been called to that. Each one of us has got to see ourselves there and see the direction that God is leading us. But we see where we've been. We've been coming to church a long time. We've been serving God a long time. But God had a purpose and a plan. And somebody has got to fulfill that as we come into the maturity of Jesus Christ and the stature of that perfect man. And seeing God being made real in our lives. He says, if children will only take, he can prove it by you. That's the only way he can prove his word. And he doesn't prove it to unbelievers. They can't be proved. They are unbelievers. But it's not to unbelievers. It's not for unbelievers. It's to him that believes. And if he can find somebody who will believe his word, he will prove his word by you. And sometimes sickness and things happens to us that way, that God can prove himself. So think about it. There are probably many of us sitting here with ailments. Many of us have things that's in our life. Have you ever stopped to think that the problem that you have in your body could have been a situation that's been placed there? God has allowed to happen to bring glory to his name. Do we ever stop to think about the ailments that we have, of what it could be there for and what it could do? The promise is laying here that by his stripes I am healed. And if we can catch the revelation that that is for me, for my situation at that time, and he's just waiting for someone to ask. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him and ask him for whatever they have need of. And realizing that the purpose for which we would be healed would be to his glory and to his honor. These things may have come upon us for that reason. He says He will prove it by you, and sometimes sickness and things happen to us that way that God can prove himself. Do you remember the blind man that Jesus found? They said, who sinned, he or his father or his mother? And he said, in this case, neither, but that the works of God might be made known. See, it happened to the boy just so that Jesus could be glorified. And sometimes sickness is not a curse. It's a blessing that we can stick our faith out there and call those things which are not as though they were. God said so, and he'll prove it so if you'll just not weaken under the test. And oh my, think about it a little bit. Let me jump over here. This is a very familiar little story we've heard about the blind man that Brother Branham healed, that went down and got in the barber's chair. Just catch a small portion of it, just to highlight a few things, but this was in the message, Behold, a Greater Than All of Them is Here. And I just love the title. I thought it was really catching. Just think about it. The same God. And if we could just grasp that for a moment, we quote it and we've heard it read and we've heard it spoken. But the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that showed up on the road in that pillar of fire at Damascus to Paul, the same God that's down through all the Bible that closed the mouths of lions and told Noah to build a boat that would float through that great flood. All that God has done is still here tonight dealing with you and me personally. And as his children. And all he said is ask that your joys may be full. He says, This was, so he was talking, this is paragraph 50, and this message was preached July 15th, 1962. And I'll just start down here after he had already told him and prayed for him. He says he come back in the line and let him back again. So they put him the line down there and he didn't. He had done forfeited his prayer card. And so then I asked, what was the matter? And he said, sir, you told me I was healed. And I said, you told me you believed me. And oh, just think of the correspondence here and us. We claim we believe God. But sometimes we question him. Does it show that we truly believe? And just remember, we can read it in a moment, but the quote that was in Perfect Faith where Brother Branham said, when you truly believe, not make believe, but when you truly believe. And if we could truly get to that place to where it's truly been revealed to us, this word is grasping and growing bigger to us all the time, to where we're in full obedience to every word of God, knowing that that brings that token and it's on display. And it's visible that others can see, and it's living itself back out of us to others, that brings that assurance that I know that I can have the same testimony that Enoch had, that by faith he knew he pleased God. Think about the testimony we can have today with what we have laying before us and seeing what God has done for us and the promises that are laying here. We can have that same testimony today that we know we're living pleasing to exactly what he's told us to do. And see that token applied over us? Oh, my. And then apply that token with your prayer, Brother Branham said, and see where it goes. Amen. Would it bring results, not just an empty prayer, just not an empty hope, an empty phase of a question. Lord, I'd really like to be healed, but no. When you go to God in prayer and seeking him, Lord, this thing, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a situation, whatever it is that's standing in the road. Lord, this must have arose for a reason. And I'm asking, Lord, that you move it, heal it, whatever it is, for your glory and your honor to prove, Lord, that you said you would prove to this nation and to this people that you were God. Amen. And the only way you can do it, he has no hands, he has no eyes, no mouth, but yours and mine. So we have to be his representative here today. And we all can't be preachers, we all can't be singers, but God will use our lives in any way he can. Think of the little woman that prayed for the baby in the prayer line when she felt it laid up on her heart to go pray for that little baby, and she went and prayed for it, and they brought it in the prayer line, and Brother Branham said, it's already healed. And the question was asking, can we do miracles? And he said, yes, when we're directed by God. God has a place and a purpose for each word to be fulfilled. And those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And oh, the place we must come to and find. Even still, as we maybe find ourselves at times, we let our mouth fly when we should have kept it quiet. And those are the things we've got to learn to totally yield to the Spirit. And Lord, take full control of my being. That I don't open this mouth anytime unless I know that it's the moving of the Spirit to open it. Sometimes we're still human, and sometimes we feel like we got a right to say what we're going to say. We may feel like we got a right to put forth what we want to put forth. But oh, we must learn to be controlled so gently by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all things will work to his glory when we come into that place. Amen. He says, you told me you believed me. He said, I do believe you. I said, what are you questioning me for then? It wasn't me that told you you was healed. It was thus saith the Lord that didn't say, I say so. He was the one speaking. The same one that can put you under inspiration and can tell you what has been. And then he puts you under inspiration to tell you what will be. You know whether that has been right or not. Surely you could believe the will be. And he said, I don't understand. Poor old fellow. He'd been raised in a Catholic church. He didn't understand nothing about the supernatural. And I said to him, and Brother Branham pauses. He says, there was a little Amish girl at the time. You've heard the story. Jumped up from that piano. Was playing The Great Physician. Now is near. Jumped up and began to screaming, and her hair fell down across her body like that, and she began to screaming, and the continually playing of the piano, The Great Physician Now is Near, the sympathizing Jesus, and then standing there, she was glorifying God. And I said, the thing for you to do is keep praising God for your healing. And he said, all right, sir, thank you. I'm glad to know that. Now, that Catholic is taught to believe what their priest says is the truth. And I was acting just as a priest to him. And so the next night, he was in the meeting, and he was back up in the second balcony, and every once in a while, he'd say, everybody keep still. Praise God for healing me. And I want you to notice that little thing, what he said there. They are taught He said, no, the Catholic is taught to believe what their priest says is the truth.
Yes.
We have been taught to believe as believers what God said to be the truth. Amen. And if we would but take him at his word completely,
yeah.
And no doubt, don't move up, just as once this gentleman realized what Brother Branham was trying to do to him. And then he put Brother Branham into that place as, I must do what he said. Wasn't no, well, I ain't going to do that. No, he put his faith and his confidence. He told me to do this, and he went forth doing it.
Yes.
And if we could but get into that place, this is what God's required of me, and I'm going to go forward and do exactly what he's told me to do, full obedience to the full word of God. Think about it for a moment. He says, now the Catholic is taught to believe what their priest says is the truth, and I was acting as a priest to him. The next night he was in the meeting, and he was way back up in the second balcony, and every once in a while everybody keeps still. Praise God for healing him. You know, he was following orders. Some of the ushers going up to make him keep still. And I said, don't do that. Let him alone. And so all out on the street and everywhere he'd go, he'd stop once in a while. Praise God for healing me. And he was selling papers down in the corner about 2 or 3 weeks after the church. After the service was over, he was still standing down there and he'd holler, extra, extra, praise God for healing me. Extra, extra, praise God for healing me. And the people would just laugh at him. Everybody, he was just a laughing stock. It's an example. Just think of the situation. God may lay it into your heart and reveal to you that this thing is, you are healed. It may be 2 or 3 weeks later, but keep giving God the praise. Don't back off of your testimony. Stand firm on what God has promised and given you and hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering.
Amen.
He says, and the people was just made a laughing stock. And so there was another little newsboy come along, and they took him over to the barber chair to get him to shave. And he wanted to go over. And the little boy led him across the street. And he laid down in that chair. And the barber was one of the little smart alecks, you know. So he lathered up his face and wetted his razor, started shaving his face down. And he said, Dad Ryan? He said, yes, sir. What is it, son? He said, I heard you was up there. And that holy, roly preacher, when he was up here, said, yes, I was up. He said, I heard you got healed. And he said, yes, praise God for healing me. And his eyes come open in that barber chair. And out of the chair, he went down the street with a towel around his neck. And the barber behind him, such a display you've never seen. And that man is preaching the gospel this day. Why? He took God at his word. So think about it. If we would just but hold fast to what God has given us. Don't try to, oh, I heard it like this one time. And I heard it like this. And all you got to do, take God in simplicity. God has laid forth the plan. As God lays it back up on our pastor's heart or wherever you may be, to go back into the word, into the simplicity of God's word, and just accept it. Mm-hmm. And to say, Lord, I believe. And in simple faith believing God's word, watch God put the promises of this Bible into action in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And watch it happen. Even like Brother Smith coming and the words that he's bringing, how it ought to just illuminate the scriptures and make it more real to us. To think about it as just words on a page. But when you see the context of what was being brought and where it's coming forth, it ought to build such a confidence into our heart in God's precious word.
Yes.
And to see the reality that those weren't just people, but that was God's mouthpieces and at the time to make sure that those words were put into this Bible, that you and I would have them today to bring us to the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ that was needed. Oh, we are finishing up. All that was lost has been rebuilt.
Yeah.
And oh, we're coming to the climax of it. And oh, what God can do if we can but get out of our minds and let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you.
Amen.
And oh, totally surrender ourselves to his word in its fullness. It'll be astonishing to us, saints. More of what God can do in your own life if we would but surrender to him. What he could do for us as individuals and as a group, as a body of believers, what could happen and take place if we could but surrender ourselves completely into his hands. This is in the Message of Paradox, preached July 17, 1965. He was speaking of Abraham just here at the first paragraph, and he says, paragraph 112, and when he was ready to obey God to its fullness, he caught his hand and said, stay your hand, Abraham. And there was a ram hooked in the wilderness around the vines, with his horns on top of the mountain, where there's lions, wolves, hyenas, jackals, and the great ferocious beasts that eat sheep. And then he was way up on top of that mountain where there is no water. How did that ram get there? Abraham had picked up stones all around to build an altar, but there was a ram anyhow. It was a paradox. And any man that believes God and takes him at his word, no matter what the situation is, God will perform another paradox to keep his word. Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord has provided for himself a sacrifice. And he can still cause a paradox to happen. He can do that this afternoon if you'll just take him at his word. And just think of the situation. Now he's going to use some examples. Daniel, from a den full of hungry lions. How could it be that that man and a group of hungry lions stayed in a cave with him all night without any harm? The angel of the Lord, unseen to anyone else, was standing there. It was a paradox. Something had to keep the lions from getting him. And when the Hebrew children went into that fiery furnace, that's against all scientific understanding in that great age. It was unscientifically for a man to be thrown into a furnace that the men taking him up there perished, and they fell into the furnace and lived in that furnace for a while, and the only thing it did was loose them from their shackles. That's a paradox. It was unexplainable, unreasonable, but yet it's the truth. And do you believe that? Amen. That's the simple thing of what God can do. These were written for an example to show that he can do the impossible. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing to hinder him. There's not a situation in life that he can't master. There's not a situation that you're going through that he don't already know that you're in it. And he's just waiting for you to put your full trust and confidence in him and let him bring you through that situation to his glory and to his honor and watch it bring praise back to his name. He says, that's a paradox. It was unexplainable, unreasonable, but yet it's the truth. And Joshua, that we're speaking of, how did that man, just an ordinary man, that just come through a group of creeds that men had formed, laws and ceremony, with nothing in them that says anything about giving man power to stop the sun. But here with a commission from God, I'll give you every piece of ground that the soles of your foot sets upon. I'll be there. And the enemy was routed. Totally against scientific proof, against scientific understanding of how this world turns and set in order. And the sun stood still. The scripture said the sun stood still. I ain't got nothing else to say about it, but say I believe it. Amen. God said it. That's the way it was. And oh my, that's the simple truth that we must take. What God said, this Bible, he spoke to us through that prophet was, thus saith the Lord. And to take him at his word and say, Lord, I believe that. I may not fully understand it truly, but Lord, if you spoke it, I know it has to be the truth. And I'll anchor my soul upon it and ask you, Lord, to open my understanding greater to those things that are written within. He says here, this is in the message, I'm turning on the light. Says, and I just thinking of this, it's paragraph 107. This was preached January 24th, 1964. It says, it reminds me of a story that when the great Welsh revival was on, some great men in the nation thought they would go over and see that Welsh revival and what would be taking place. And they went over to find out to see what building it was held in. And when they got to Wales, they went around and began to ask about where the building was, and then they seen the happy little officer standing on the corner with his little Tommy hat on and was swinging his club around and around like that. And so these men walked up and said, sir, could you tell me what building the Welsh Revival was held in? And he said, yes, sir, I'm it. I'm it. Why? He was shedding forth the joy and the light of the Welsh Revival that was within him. So ought the Church of the Pentecostals today asking, who is Jesus Christ? The same yesterday, today, and forever. His light of his gospel ought to be shining forth with the word of this age, revealing Jesus Christ to the nation just like it was then. And he was so filled with the Welsh revival till he was the Welsh revival. And we ought to be so filled with Christ till we reflect him in the power of his word that's allotted to us to this day. Yes. Brethren, don't be stooped into things of the world and don't take these cares that take you away. Stay with the gospel. Watch every word. Don't go back to what some father said. Let go right now what Jesus said was to take place in this day. Yes, sir? We are supposed to be the light of this age, manifesting the gospel. Luther was his light. Wesley was his light. Pentecost was his light. But we are farther up the road now, and we're coming into the bride. Called out the elected. And remember, if you are, you're just like that officer. He had it in him. Amen? And I want more of him and less of me to be seen. Amen? May that, as we begin to see what God is doing, and as we see this faith that and building, and that it's going to take more faith in this age than any other age. And to think about what they've done in these other ages. Look back and see what men have done. and to see where we're standing and realizing we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but principalities and against powers and spiritual wickedness. And look at what we're standing for and where we are at and what may take place upon this world. But God said he would have a people that would stand and declare to this nation and this people that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all may we be a people that's letting this glorious gospel light shine forth from us. And how do we do that? By healing everybody? By doing great signs and wonders? Maybe if that's what the Lord wants. But by allowing his life to project through us so perfectly and to be led by the Spirit in such a way that God could use us in whichever way he wants to bring glory to his name and to his honor. Oh, it may not be the way that we think about it sometimes. Sometimes it's easy for the human mind to automatically say, well, if somebody would get healed, boy, that would really prove to them. But oh, what if it's the situation where your mouth should have flew open and it didn't, but it was quiet and your spirit was different. And maybe you were mild and handled it with a different situation. Oh, saints, when we look around us and I look at my life, I see places to grow, places to overcome. I see places where I can be more like him than I've ever been. And oh, I'm praying, Lord, open up my eyes and teach me, Lord, to take you at your word and to believe every word you've written. And don't let me step out of line, but Lord, let me just hold on to what you've given us. And don't just let me have it in my brain. Don't let me just remember what your word said, but Lord, write it upon the tables of my heart that, Lord, it would bring this body under subjection to your word in every situation. Oh, may that faith build within our hearts, saints, that we would truly be a people that's moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes. And follow in his footsteps. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Amen. But just a few simple words to place down in our hearts. Amen. And to pray, we'll just keep asking God to keep building it. Yes. Each word, each time, you know, it may come forth and you may say, well, that didn't seem like much of a message. Maybe it didn't seem like he really covered a whole lot of things there. But it might be one quote that just tugged at some place at the right time, and God may come along in the next service and lay another one right on top of there. It's building stones. It's just like building a house. You don't get it all up at one time, but day by day, a nail and a two before, it just keeps building, and it fits tightly together to form what it needs. God knows exactly what he's doing. He's right on time every time. Amen. And I'm so glad that I know that he's real.
Amen.
Amen. So glad to serve him. Let's all stand, if you would, as we get ready to ask our pastor to come. Let's just sing that little chorus. He's real, real, real.
Yes,
amen.
I've
sang that in a while.
Oh my.
Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. He's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. And he baptized me with the Holy Ghost.
He's so real to me. Yes, he baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And he's so real to me.
He baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And he's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Well, he's real, real, real.
He's so real
to me. Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. How's he become real to you? The true baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what makes him really real to you. That when you talk to him through the way of prayer, you know he's listening to everything you're saying. You know, sometimes maybe when people pray, they pray that, you know, and just trying to imagine God's there or something. But if he's inside of you, Brother Bram said, pray to the one that's in you. How much more real can you get? Amen. To know and see that Christ is in you, the reality of Christ being in you, that's a glorious thing. Amen. Then you know when you're in trouble, when you're in need, when you just want to talk to him, he's there to listen. Amen. You know he's there listening to you. Amen. You appreciate the word? Amen. I do.
working. That's always strengthening. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask again now that you would bless each and every one of us with the word that was brought. And may each one of us, by faith, Lord, be able to apply that word in our hearts and our lives and see it made manifest. Lord, we appreciate you so very much. And we see how you're working on us, Lord, and building us up to that great final moment we're about to step into. Lord, this great rapture that's about to take place. We ask that you just help each one of us, Lord. Help us to yield and give us the revelation we need. You know our hearts, you know our lives, you know all about us. So we just want to commit ourselves to you now. And we're asking you to again just bless us, Lord. And Father, we ask that you bless Brother George Smith and his journey, Lord, coming up next month. That as he goes to Poland, may you lead him and guide him by your Holy Spirit. And may your blessings be upon him, Lord. And may he know he's being led by the Holy Spirit to do so. So just go with him in his journeys there and provide the needs for him. And I'm sure he'll give you the glory and honor for that also. So we ask you just keep us safe now up on the highways as each one of us travel back to our homes. And Lord, if you should tarry, we ask you to bring us back again the next appointed time and help us to come, Lord, in the condition you want us to be in to receive. And again, we ask it all in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is why.